This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency. Your Israeli property is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony. How are things shaking?
Boker Tov, things are very much shaking. But before we get on to talking about how things are shaking, I thought I would share with you the story about an Israeli company that has developed a way to examine fruit and vegetables before they are marketed in order to allow people to know how ripe, how good the fruit is even before they're opened up. And this is a company called Neolithics, which was founded a couple of years ago by two Air Force veterans. And they've invested in developing a system which is based on hyperspectral optics and artificial intelligence, which is something that everything has to have these days, in order to predict quality, safety characteristics and survival of fresh goods in the food supply chain. And this is now going to be used by a company that produces avocado pears as an initial trial system. They're going to establish some sort of a lab within the company using Neolithics technology to examine the quality of the avocados before they actually go on sale. And the guys who founded Neolithics say it's not only about business sense, which of course it will definitely help with, but it's also about trying to save the planet, because they claim that between 30 and 50% of the food that is produced worldwide is wasted. So the idea is to be able to check the fruit, the vegetable, whatever it is, to know what the quality is, and also therefore to know when the best time would be to put it out on the shelves, to put the freshest fruit on the shelves and to allow people to consume it immediately. I think this is going to be quite fascinating to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's so interesting that even countries like, I mean, we're talking about food security because ultimately that's what it's about. You know, even a country like South Africa, we destroy 100 tons of fresh produce every day, so that it doesn't, you don't have this glut on the market and, you know, the produce loses value. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
So that's an entirely separate discussion. Yeah. About people who are forced to destroy food in order to keep their businesses running. That's a completely different thing. But certainly we know that everybody's got their system for tapping on the watermelon, you know, to see how ripe it is.
Yes.
Or looking at the avocado. You see these people holding the avocado up to the light, you
yes.
know, to try and see how ripe it is, how good it's going to taste once you take the peel off. So this is going to be an interesting one.
Anthony, do you like the green avos or do you like those black ones with the hard shells, the Haas avos?
No, not the blacky ones. You know, I'm very, very traditional in the way that I look at these things. So, no, the black ones, they kind of look like they don't want to be eaten.
Well, avos generally might not want to be eaten, but let's get on to some real news, Anthony. Israel experienced 3 minor earthquakes in a period of 24 hours. Tell us about this.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously after shakes from the major earthquakes that have been experienced in Turkey and in Syria over the past few days, still lots and lots of shakes around the area, 3 to 4 on the Richter scale, centered around not far from the Israeli town of Ariel. So sort of towards the eastern border of Israel, near to the Jordan Valley area, which is, I guess, where one would probably expect these things to be felt. But really, most of the news still surrounds what's going on in Turkey and Israel's efforts to help with the currently still search and rescue effort. But that will probably need to be wound down within the next day or two. Numerous stories about the number of people that the Israeli search and rescue team have managed to pull out from under the rubble. Men, women, children being pulled out by the team. Really many success stories of people who have been saved. Many of them still in quite good health. Children being pulled out from under the rubble. Really lots and lots of heartwarming stories about what the Israeli search and rescue team has already managed to achieve in a relatively short period of time. But yesterday there were 15 cargo planes that were loaded up and sent to Turkey, including 230 medical experts and a field hospital that will be set up today in the area of the earthquake in order to treat people. This medical facility, field hospital, will include operating theatres, will include every kind of treatment that might be needed out in the field, and of course the 15 cargo planes of goods, all kinds of emergency supplies that might be needed by the people in Turkey. The current death toll is reported at around 15,000 and still counting, still counting. We are not near to the end of identifying the number of people who have been killed in these earthquakes. And the situation continues to tremble. We're still feeling the shakes. Certainly the situation hasn't settled down yet. And the cold weather is not helping things at all. It's still been very, very cold overnight. Temperatures in Israel dropped below 10 degrees, which for Israel is a very cold night. And so people in Turkey and in Syria also having to deal with the cold weather, having gone through what is really a very, very significant disaster in the form of these earthquakes that have been really, really massive. So this is a continuing, a developing story. And of course, Israel is doing whatever it can to contribute to the situation. In the meantime, Israelis have been advised by the Home Front Command to pack a little bag with all the important things in case they might need to run unexpectedly as a result of an earthquake. So people are being prepared for the worst here. Of the possibility of a major earthquake still taking place in Israel. And of course, with these little tremors that we felt yesterday, it seems quite a real prospect.
Yeah, I was actually reading yesterday that one of the warnings to Israelis is that any buildings built before 1980 are particularly dangerous in an earthquake if they haven't been reinforced. So are those kind of preparations or measures being undertaken by Israel? I mean, one of the stories out of Turkey this morning was that one of the buildings that collapsed was only finished a month ago. It was a new building.
Yes. I didn't see that. I do know that Israel developed more stringent building plans. I wasn't sure when it was, but if you're saying it's 1980, that sounds quite feasible, that more stringent building plans were put in place in order to reinforce buildings against earthquakes. Now, I don't know what it means, what that would mean. In other words, whether the reinforcements that have been adopted for these newer buildings, whether they will actually withstand a 7.5 earthquake or not. And that remains to be seen. We also know that a lot of the older buildings, or some of the older buildings at least, have been reinforced through a government-sponsored program over the last few years, where, first of all, buildings have been improved in the way that they look. Also, in some cases, floors were added to the top of the building in order to fund the cost of the reinforcement and of the redevelopment of that building. So instead of the individuals who live in the building having to pay for it, the builder simply built on extra apartments in another floor on top, or two floors on top, and he sold those apartments in order to finance the cost of the redevelopment and the reinforcement that he did. So that was quite a successful program, which is now being wound down. A lot of buildings in my local area were reinforced like that and redeveloped like that. But it's never, ever enough, because there are always so many of the old buildings around that have not gone through this reinforcement. So there is certainly a danger of buildings that haven't been developed to earthquake standards. And one wonders how strong the buildings are that have indeed been built to the standard.
Yeah. Anthony, I came across a story this morning on Times of Israel. Iran displaying a ballistic missile with "Death to Israel" written in Hebrew. And this was the Revolutionary Guards showcase an apparent projectile at weapons exhibition in Isfahan. Can we talk about Iran, please?
Yeah, let's talk about Iran. I mean, you know, the fact that they have weapons with Hebrew on it and that are directed towards Israel is, of course, already no surprise. But the thing that took me a little bit by surprise yesterday was the fact that they chose to unveil their underground air force base, which is called Eagle 44. And this is an air force base which is completely underground. And apparently, according to the way that the Iranians have described it, it is one of the army's most important air force bases, apparently with fighters that are equipped with long-range cruise missiles, and it's built in the depths of the earth. And apparently there's not only one of these, but they have got quite a number of these underground air force bases that have been built in recent years, and they claim that this will allow the Iranian military to carry out surprise airborne operations far from the expectations of the country's enemies. And I quote that from one of the Iranian news agencies. So the base was visited by a number of high-ranking Iranian military officials. We don't know too much more about where it's located and exactly what the facilities are in all their detail that are located there. But there were some pictures that were released which show this facility, and it's quite unbelievable to see how much time, effort, money and investment has gone into developing these air force bases, especially when you think about the fact that Iran has really been suffering economically in recent years, and how much money and investment has gone into developing these underground military facilities is just astonishing.
Absolutely. But listen, you know, if you don't want to build anything above ground, I suppose, if you're going to be protecting your assets.
Certainly, building it above ground would be a lot more dangerous. I just wonder how secure it is even underground, because what we've seen in recent years is that somehow these strange events that seem to strike Iranian facilities at the most unexpected times happen even to the most secure places, even to places that are underground. We've heard about all kinds of strange and unexplained events that have taken place within Iranian military facilities. And I would definitely not bet against these underground air force bases being a target that is certainly achievable and reachable. So we'll just park that particular discussion there and we'll watch what happens next.
Yep,
but
time
I would
tell.
Certainly not... I would certainly not bet against it.
Anthony, just very quickly, the IDF has renewed its search for a soldier who went missing in 1997. Who is this?
So this is a soldier by the name of Guy Hever. And it's a very, very sad story that relates to Guy Hever, because he was serving in the Golan Heights. He was somebody who at the time in 1997 that he was serving actually had been sentenced to confinement at his military base for falling asleep on duty. So he was already punished. When he then decided to insubordinate, he decided not to carry out commands that had been given to him. And he then was court-martialed in order to appear before a military court-martial to answer charges of insubordination when he refused to carry out these orders. And at that moment, before the court-martial could take place, he disappeared from his base and he was never ever seen again. He was carrying a rifle, he was in his military uniform, he was carrying identity on his person that could easily identify him, and he was just never seen again. This was August 1997, 20 years old at the time. Now, the IDF explained this by saying that they were sure that he'd committed suicide due to the situation that he was in at the, in the military, that he was already punished and due to be court-martialed. But his mother was very adamant that she felt that he had been kidnapped by the Syrians in the Golan Heights, who found him walking around there, and they'd kidnapped him. And there were some anecdotal stories about him having been seen here and there, but nothing that could really be confirmed. And the military finally agreed to label him as a missing in action soldier. And there were some quite significant efforts to try and see whether the Syrians knew anything about him, but nothing serious has taken place. Now, the latest is that the IDF has decided to drain a reservoir in the area with a view that they might find his body in the reservoir, following the theory that he committed suicide, still following that theory. Nothing has transpired as yet. And it would be just nice for the family to have a little bit of closure to the story, to find whatever they need to find. Yeah. His mother maintains that she thinks he's still alive. So this is a very interesting story.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much for this week. I have really enjoyed hearing your insights, and thank you for our conversations. Howard Feldman will be back on Monday. So
we will talk to Howard on Monday, and I wish you guys a great weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Anthony Reich. Shabbat Shalom to you too.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.